I'm sure you all feel very similar feeling when you go and come back. A number of our families are still traveling due to vacations, and we look forward to them coming back. Face to face I shall see him. Maybe I should speak on the second coming of Christ, but I'm not ready for it. Then what the Lord has given to me is a very, very, very practical application that I thought it was necessary for all of us. Just 3 weeks in a row that we have missionaries coming to us. We have Christian and Pilar coming. And then the next week we have a missionary to Nigeria. Jim Gillett will be with us. And the following week Christian and Pilar will be with us. And the next week after that, Brother James Matthew, a full-time worker from Detroit, will be with us. So you won't have to listen to me or any one of us. So that may be a good news for you. This morning, I thought when I was planning to prepare and get ready for speaking this morning, I had a very different subject in my mind. But the Lord somehow turned me around and brought to this subject. So I am sure which is the Lord's plan. In the past, not recently, in the past, I have taken a series on godly character. I believe we did cover about 5 messages on godly character. This morning, I'm going to continue on the same theme, godly character number 6 in my study, and that the theme or the headline of that message is how to handle insult and get along. How to handle insult and get along. In the recent few months, we have been studying the subject of subtle sins on Wednesday nights. In our life, there are sins that are so subtle that we don't even realize sometimes. Most of the sins that we looked at so far is simply, if you look very closely, it is a behavioral pattern of our life that we take it so lightly. But in the scripture, according to the Lord, they are sins, whether you like it or not. Some of the sins that were presented within the last 3 months or so, I didn't like those. I didn't want to hear about it because it was in me. Sin remains a sin. There is nothing called a subtle sin if you take the whole scripture as a whole. How do we deal with those characters? How do we deal with those kind of problems that are so not clear in our minds and thoughts? How can we overcome? You will know, probably most of you will agree with me, that it is not an easy task. It may sound very small and simple and silly, but it is not easy if you try it. So my message this morning is not simply about the insult alone, yes, we will deal with that, but how do we deal with even an insult or a subtle sin in our life? We need to make extra effort to deal with such things in our life. Big things are sometimes easier, but the things that are so subtle and not very important in our mind is sometimes not easy. There is no shortcuts I can give you this morning, but I have a very biblical answer to solve with those kind of living characters and our behaviors. Paul had a very clear statement in his more than one epistle. He has this desire that he wrote it very clearly to the people whom he is writing, is that I may know him. Philippians 3:10, and also in other passages we read that I may know him. The answer to the subtle sins and the other things and the insult that we go through, the answer to deal with that is that you may know him. When you know him in your personal life and walk on this earth, your character will slowly change. In other words, you will begin to build a godly character in your life that you don't even sometimes realize it. It automatically changes you. It automatically mold you into a new behavior pattern that will also eliminate some of these subtle sins in our life. If you find it difficult to deal with it, there is a problem, the fundamental foundational problem with you and me including, is that we are not close to the Lord. Yes, we are coming here on Sunday morning, we are attending night meetings on Wednesday night, and we are doing all kinds of activities, but how close are you to the Lord himself that can mold you and change your character? So truly my subject this morning is building a godly character. But in that process, we will also look at the insult and a practical thing that we all face in our life. We will deal with that as we go on. It doesn't happen overnight. It does not happen overnight. If you think that this godly character can be built just like that, it will not happen. If you think of the Old Testament, my character this morning I am going to draw is one from the Old Testament. But if you look at the godly men and women, which we considered sometimes in the past, they lived a godly life and dealt with the problems and things like that we are going to look together. I often wonder, how did they do this? They did not have the written word of God in their homes. If at all their Old Testament portions were there, it was in the synagogue or somewhere else placed. They didn't have it in their hand. They definitely did not have the New Testament scriptures. They definitely did not have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. But how did they live this life? That amazes me when I read their stories. They did not even have the millions and millions of books of interpretations and commentaries and other discussions, even the book that we are referring to study about the subtle sins. They didn't have any of those. But yet, I see men and women of God who had the fear of God and built a godly character in their life, and nothing that circumstances that come along their way will change anything in their life. I do not know. What is my excuse? I do not know what is your excuse. We have all these resources I just referred to. Sometimes perhaps more than one translation, or I have maybe 5 or 6 different kinds of Bible in my library. We have no excuse. One day we will stand before the Lord, and all the resources that he gave us, that we will be held accountable for that day. What will be our response if circumstances cause us to anger, frustrations? I'm sometimes even tempted to take revenge upon other believers. How will you respond? Someone whom you love in your family or a circle of friends, whom you love and care for, rise up against you one day. And what will be your response? How will you respond to such situations? But this is what I am going to take about a passage that is about a life of a person who has gone through everything I said so far and much more, is the life of King David. In the previous series on the building a godly character, we looked at David at least twice. So I am going to turn back to him again, to another incident. This particular incident in the life of David is at a point that he was in great danger and absolute distress a human can ever handle. He was in danger and distress. I'm sure when we read this together, when we read it together, you will think, oh, this story I know already. I have read it before. Some of you may have even preached from it and know very well about this story. The occasion is David is once again is running for his life this time. We all know the story that when he was running for his life, when King Saul was after him, he went to caves and mountains and hid himself. While he is truly ordained king by the Lord himself through the ministry of Samuel, he was already king. He didn't have to run, but he did for his life. We won't take time to go to the life and his incidents that happened with Saul. But this time, the second time, he is running from Absalom, his own son, who is taking revenge against him. Do you know of any family, or maybe you know somebody who the children took revenge against their father? Not revenge, but here in this case, Absalom really wanted to take the kingdom away from him and get rid of David, his father. I'm sure there are parents who went through such difficult situations, who walk away from the Lord, or something that they did to you, that David is in a similar situation, running from his own son. But here in this case, Absalom is not only simply trying to take the throne, but he is also trying to kill David, his own father. It has gone to that extent in this situation. What will be your reaction? What will be my reaction? If anything of this sort, or maybe something less than this, happens. Especially when you have the power, the authority, and all the resources in front of you, right in hand, in your hands, and just the word that you utter, all these people can be destroyed. Not only that, he is running from son Absalom, his own best friend. At some point, the man called Ahithophel, I'm probably misquoting his name, he betrayed him and went and joined the other camp of his son Absalom, his own best friend. When was your best friend ever betrayed you in your life? I'm sure you can probably think of somebody, a very close friend whom you trusted, who betrayed you. This is the time that when David really needed more friends, not less. I can think of myself and my previous history of life, with the assemblies and with the people of God, with the friends and families around who did something similar. But my reaction, even in my thought and in my actions about such people, are far from what David did. We haven't read our passage yet. We are coming to that. I'm just building up with the background before I read it. I am sure all of us will react very differently. David had a very, very different reaction when this happened to him. But while we are going to read and continue to look for the next few minutes, I want you to concentrate on one thing and forget about the story and everything else that we're going to read together. I want you to concentrate and see whether he can dig deep into the heart of this man called David and understand the godly character of this man. He is not same as you and me. It is very evident that throughout his life we can see that. Look deep into the life of this man while we are going through this. Having said that, let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 16. And a small incident. We already know the circumstance of David now. He is running from his son who is trying to kill him, at the advice of his own best friend Ahithophel, who advised Absalom the best way to deal with this problem is to kill your father and get rid of him. That was the advice he gave to Absalom. In that circumstance, here comes another problem. While he is running, he has 600 mighty army men who is powerful enough to take care of any problem. Thousands and thousands of Israelites came to his rescue. He was not alone. He was a man of war as we read. But here comes chapter 16 and verse 5. I want you to listen very carefully while I read this. Now, when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul. So the previous king, the house of Saul, the Saul was, you know what happened in the story? He was a man from that family. He's trying to take revenge here. Whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out cursing continuously as he came, and he threw stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Also Shimei said this when he cursed. Listen to this. Come out you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. Are you getting what he's saying? And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil, because you are a bloodthirsty man. Verse 9. Then Abishai is one of his 600 plus mighty men, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head." Here comes help for David. And verse 10, but the king said, "What have I to do with you, you son of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, 'Curse David.' Who then shall say, 'Why have you done so?'" And David said to Abishai and all his servants, "See how my son, who came from my own body, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite? Let him alone. Let him curse. For so the Lord has ordered him." Wow. "It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day." And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along. Listen to this. This is not a one-time deal. Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went, threw stones at him and kicked the dust. He must be a very angry person from his behavior. Now the king and all the people who were with him became weary and they are tired. So they refreshed themselves there. I'll stop there. Here is King David. 600 plus mighty men who can destroy a nation just like that. Thousands of people on his side. And here comes a man from the family of Saul walking alongside while king is running away from the city, cursing and throwing stones at him. Just picture that scene in your mind. While he is saying, did you notice that he is quoting the Lord himself? He said, "The Lord is doing this. It is not me. It is Lord who is doing." Sometimes people can quote verses and come after you, right? They may sound like they are quoting words, but they can bring you down with the verses. We have a similar situation in the New Testament. Remember the Lord himself. That when our Lord Jesus was on this earth, the enemy, the Satan, came to him with what? Not with the stick and things that can arrest him, but he came to him with the scripture to catch him in words. And this man, when he came to David, he says, "I am coming in the name of the Lord. The Lord has told me to do this." Don't be fooled just because somebody reads from the Bible or gives you a verse here and there. They are on the Lord's side. You understand the enemy, the only solution to me is to have a godly character like David here. and know the Lord so fully well in his life. He was not joking when he said, I know the Lord. He meant business in throughout his life. Some of us may have a problem that we think that we are believers. We go to the Lord's day and we worship and we go home, and 7 days after we come back and we think we know the Lord. That is far from truth. How is your life? I want you to look at your life. Don't look at me. I will do my own. I have already done last few days when I am looking at this. Now, meanwhile, this situation is getting bad, that Shimei is continuing to throw stones at him. Here comes help for David. Abishai says, one of the mighty men said, please, King David, let me go. In a moment, I can go finish him off. What a great advice, is it? Don't you think it was a good thing to do at that time? Don't you think it was a good advice from his own friend? Verse 9, look at verse 9 for a moment. Then Abishai the son of Zeruiah said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please, let me go over and take off his head. A perfect solution for this problem for the moment. If I am in David's shoes at that moment, I will let him do it. Right? Sometimes we don't want to attack a brother directly, but we will allow someone else to do it and quietly say amen to it. Not David. David said, what did he say to him? Oh, there was nothing wrong with his advice. It was a perfect advice in my thinking, in a human's thinking. And I would have agreed with him at that moment. Perhaps some of you would do the same thing. Doesn't matter how close your friend is. Abishai was a very close friend who gave a good advice. But be careful when you take advice from even close friends sometime. Make sure it is from the Lord and according to your knowledge of the Lord whom you know, not what the friend knows. I personally, this is probably my problem and not yours. I personally do not recommend, when people go through struggles in life, I do not personally recommend people to go to professional counselors. There may not be anything they teach wrong. I don't know. I have never been to one of them. But what I know what they do, their basis for counseling is not the Lord nor the scripture, Bible. In most cases, there are biblical counselors available. Here is a man who is such a close friend to David, giving a wrong advice. Looking okay advice. But David, in his character, was able to identify that and say, no, this is not coming from the Lord. How did he know that? He was on constant communion with the Lord even at that difficult moment. He knew his God very well. His communication with him was never broken. He continued with that all his life. He could almost hear the voice of God at that time when this was going on. Therefore, David did not change his behavior or his character. He was able to see beyond the surface and saw the hand of God in it. Verse 12. It may be, listen to what David says here. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing of this day. David was able to see things far beyond the incident. Not to evaluate and react upon the face value of that moment of time. And that is the problem with many of us. I should confess myself. We will quickly react with a problem that comes along, not knowing that may not be God's will for us. He did not respond. And he says, this cursing, my God can take and turn it around and make it a blessing for me. Did you get that? That's what David said. This cursing of this man, unreasonable though, that is, my God is able to take that, turn around and make it a blessing for me. Perhaps you may have similar experiences in your life. I can almost see this happening in the life of many of us. We will not take offense sometime ourselves, like I said before, but we will let Abishai or my friend, others, take revenge on Johnson, and I'll go home and quietly sit. And you're using him as an example. We can always say, I didn't do it. I didn't take any revenge, and he did it. But David said, no, I'm not going to allow that. Remember David, you know this story already. When Saul was following him, when David was running into mountains and he was in a cave one day and Saul was in the same cave, he could have killed Saul momentarily and be done with it, the story end. But all he did was take a little scissor and cut the corner of the coat that Saul was wearing. What amazes me is not the story itself. Later on, the scripture says, David was sorrowful for cutting the corner of an anointed king, he said. He felt his conscience started hurting him. Now, do you see David's character here? I want you to concentrate on him only and his character only. And his conscience started hurting. In 1 Samuel 24, we read that. When this happened. Not only the story ends there. Now, later on, we say, he started looking at his own life. Now, David, you are the God anointed king. You have all the mighty men with you. You have all these thousands of people with you. Okay, let me go one step further. Before Shimei took one stone from the ground, David could have killed him with one stone. He has experience, remember? He could have done this. But this man keep on throwing stones at him. But at this moment, David said, I'm going to look at my own life. He says, if my own son can do this in my family, why not this man? Let him do it. When was the last time you sit back and take a look at your own life and not to blame others? Brothers and sisters, I know I have failed many times. I know you, I am very sure many of you will say agree with me. He said, why not? Even look at my own family. The problem is me, David says. And therefore, he did not allow anything else to happen. Thank God, sometimes the enemies can tell the truth. Listen to this. Sometimes the enemies can tell you the truth, but your friends will not tell you. That's what's going on here. Shimei is throwing stones and cursing him, and David says, maybe the Lord told him to curse. Maybe he's telling the truth. That's what the attitude of David. At the very difficult time, another friend, Hushai, left him and went and joined the other crowd. Sounds familiar in your life? People whom you trusted, who are supposed to be your friend, and left him and then joined the enemy camp. That happened the second time now. Ahithophel was already gone. Now the Hushai, who was another friend, he also walked away from his life. Now we read that Shimei continued. This is not a, like I said, it was not a one-time deal. He continued. At this point, at least, I would have been provoked to anger. I would say, enough is enough. Okay, you said it once. You threw some stones. That's okay. I will forgive you. But this man continued it. When you are being attacked by the enemy on a constant level of your life, what is your response? Instead of throwing stones back or taking revenge or attack other people of God, will you take a moment and sit back and look at your own life like David did and examine your own heart when friends who are leaving you? Let me give you a word of advice. Any friend that you consider in your life, listen to me, any friend whom you consider as friend, one day will leave you. It's a very serious thought. Any friend, except for one person whom you know who I am talking about. In this whole story, I'm coming to my conclusion here. I'm not going to take much time. In this story, David went through four major problems. I want you to listen carefully to this. Four things happened to David. Number one, conspiracy of his own son against him, who is the authorized God-ordained king supposed to be sitting on the throne. And number two, an insult by a man who is not worthy even to be looked at. And number three, betrayal by his two friends that were very, very close to his life. Number four, all of Israel on the other side of the river, they all betrayed him and denied him his kingship. Think about that situation that this man has gone through. And that amazes me is the David's reaction or lack of reaction in this situation. Throughout this ordeal, David did not take revenge or even respond by his feelings at the moment. But he fully, totally committed himself to the God whom he knew so well. Let me ask you again. What is your knowledge about your God? How much do you know him? Do you have a desire like Paul? Oh, that I may know him. Now, when Paul, this statement by Paul always amazes me. I believe he was almost to the end of his life. He's not a beginning life, a Christian life at the time. To know him more. Almost coming towards the close of his life, David said, or Paul said, oh, that I may know him. David was in the same similar situation. He has been building up his godly character throughout his life. Day by day, one step at a time, he became a strong, God-dependent character, which was evident throughout his life. My challenge to you and me this morning is this. Examine our own lives to see how godly is my character and yours. How will I behave? How will I respond to difficulties like this? Especially when the adversities come which we don't deserve at all. How will you respond? If any of these familiar things happen to you at any time, just remember. Now, I said four things, right? Remember those four things? You can almost see that four things happened to our Lord Jesus Christ. Denial by his friend. Denial by the entire nation of Israel. And all those four things was also found in our Lord Jesus Christ. But we see repeatedly throughout the gospel that he opened his mouth. He opened not his mouth. He did not respond to the challenges that was placed before him. He very quietly put himself into the hand of his Father. Paul finally gave a word of warning to his best friend Timothy. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If you don't want to suffer persecution, I have one shortcut for you. Don't live godly. You will not suffer. In your home, in your workplace, in your school, in your college, wherever you are, you want to avoid persecution and problem, there is a shortcut for you. Don't live godly. Paul says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Beloved, the Lord did not give us tell us that we will have a perfect life here on this earth. And the day is coming. We will be with him and we will see him face to face. While I was thinking at this one, a line of song came to my mind. We know that song very well. Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. I don't have the book here with me, where it is. Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. May this be my prayer and your prayer as you leave this place. This morning shall we look to the Lord. Our Father, we are truly humbled to know such men of God who lived for your glory. I compare myself to David. My desire and prayer is that I may come even very close to, even the closest to him, in his behavior and his character, in all that has gone through his life. And he lived a godly life, not responding to insult, not responding to anger, not responding to anything that came along his way. He totally depended on you. Oh Lord, we pray that all of us here in this room may have a desire to have the same character in our life, and our behavior may show forth such that we are truly godly men and godly women, living for your glory. Commit us to the throne of grace for the rest of the day. Thank you for being with us. The help of the Holy Spirit throughout our meetings, and give you glory, honor and praise and worship. Accept our prayer because we pray this, giving you thanks. In the sweetest name of our Lord and Savior Jesus.